Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit, and I love Him, and He loves us. This is a day that the Lord has made, another glorious day. The Lord is awesome in His ways. You know, if the Lord returned right now, He gave us warning, fair warning, that He was coming. But we have another day to work with. Today is Tuesday the 16th, November, Tuesday the 16th, 2021. And I thank God that I'm able to still minister His word. Now, when the rapture comes, I'll be happy when it comes. I know I will. I get to see the wonders of heaven, of course, and whatever God is doing. I'm always excited about it, whether I'm in heaven or on earth. But this is a day, see, the people in heaven, they see what we can't right now. Our eyes are closed to those kind of things, unless God reveals it or gives us a vision. And I thank God that He does everything wisely. And but the reason I say they don't have a real advantage, because we're still in the work field. And we can make a difference. For the people that can't help themselves, we can bear light. We can bear fruit that will help people see. And as I love being here to do that, even though I'm excited about going to heaven one day. But I want to make my time on earth count. But the Lord, He showed me something in Isaiah chapter 8 again. Before judgment, there's warning. Before judgment, there is warning, and the Lord has warned us and warned us. You know, He warns His people. He lets His people know what He's doing, and then He uses us to warn others, to give people information that they may be saved and not lost, that they may have their own relationship with the Lord. Now, that's what I love the most. I love to see God's people have a relationship with Him, not just a covenant. And I rejoice to see people in covenant with God, but I really rejoice to see people that have a covenant with Him also relate to Him. It's a waste to me to see people not relate to God. Every child of God needs to relate with their Father. God loves us. He paid a high cost just to have that relationship. And too many Christian people waste it. Their attention is on foreign things, not God. You know, people depend on entertainment, and the devil takes advantage of it. They depend on others, and the devil takes advantage of that. And then their prosperity, they try so hard to prosper, and the devil takes advantage again. But see, the Lord gave us the kingdom. And the question is, why not learn how the kingdom works and cooperate with it? The worldly people do that. They know how their kingdom works and they operate with it. It's not right. It's bondage. It's a trap. It's a death trap, but they enjoy it for what it is. And then you got Christian people trying to operate like the world in Christ, and that can never work right. You have to learn how the kingdom of God functions. But before judgment, there's warning. Now, disaster is coming. You know, the rapture itself is redemption for those who love God, but it's judgment for those that are not. The tribulation is destruction. Destruction is coming. It's going to happen against those that hate God. And then there are people that love God that's going to be hurt by it. They'll be hurt by it when their loved ones are not among the people of God. It already hurts when your loved ones are doing something, trying to live according to this world while they ignore God. That hurts. Then when you see disaster happen and you can't stop it, that really hurts. But we can stop it. We can bear fruit. We can bear fruit. We can win souls by bearing fruit, preaching the gospel, living the gospel. Like Kenneth Hagin said, why not live a fasted life? Why go back to the doggedly, that's a new word. Why go back to the beggarly ways of the world? You know, I say it doggedly, but dogs live a pretty good life sometimes. And but there are some dogs that's out for self, you know. But the beggarly ways of the world, why scrape and scrounge after the worst form of prosperity when you can have the kingdom of God? See, with the kingdom of God, you have a relationship. You've been given the whole kingdom. If you learn how to work it, you operate it by the love you live. And then the gifts that God put in you, your love helps you to notice it and use it. And you use it to be a blessing, to solve problems. And if you solve problems, you help people understand what they don't. And you help people live and see things in a greater way. Now, and from that, you're going to be rewarded. You can't obey God and not be rewarded. Disobedience is the first cause of poverty in the first place. So when people live a disobedient life, the devil's tied to whatever prosperity they come up with. And he uses that advantage against them to bait them into more foolishness. Now, the misery of the world system is whatever you get the wrong way, you're going to have a corresponding misery because you got it the wrong way. You're going to lose it. If you get something the wrong way, you got to lose it. You got to be punished for it. Everything you do that's wrong, you got to be punished for it, and you got to lose it. You're creating more and more sorrow by operating according to the world. But if you, like Paul told Timothy in Titus, you know, that was one of my favorite passages. And I have many. I love them. I tell you what, your favorite is the one you need the most. At that time, that's your favorite. But this is something that's so beautiful, Titus chapter 2. Listen to this. I was about to quote it, but I'd rather do it the right way. I'd rather do it like Paul did. He said, but speak thou things which become sound doctrine. Here's Apostle Paul giving a younger man good advice. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged man be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience, and aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. You see that? When people do the opposite of worldly things, then the word of God is blasphemed because of foolishness. Okay, continuing. Verse 6. Young men likewise, exhort to be sober-minded in all things. You know, exhort to be sober-minded. Let your eyes be in your head. Operate by the love of God only. Then he says in verse 7, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing thy corruptness, gravity, and sincerity. That's the part I want to quote. In all things showing thyself a pattern of good works. When you put God first, everything else can easily, and I mean easily, fall in place. When you're in love with God and you got a hold on the word of God, you're in covenant, you're in agreement, you're willing and obedient, you're going to leave a pattern of good work. It's inevitable. It's inevitable. It's got to happen. It can't be two ways. You can't love God from your heart and endeavor to do his ways and then go and do evil. According to John, that kind of, when you live in, according to that kind of love, you fulfill the law. And I'm not making something up. This is scripture. But the way people teach it is, They excuse you to live according to the world, and then they try to adapt the word to fit that lifestyle, when it won't. You know, it either you're going to do it or you're not. If you're going to be half-hearted, you're going to have a wild life. It's going to be goofy. It's going to be not right. And, you know, I work hard for prosperity because I'm a mechanic. If you're a mechanic, you do some crazy work. It's hard work sometimes. It's not easy. And the longer bolts are tight, the more they want to stay that way. And you break bolts, you have to drill them out. It's hard, grueling work sometimes. Sometimes things just don't go easy. And, but when you learn how God's ways work, it takes, his wisdom comes into effect. And it makes the hard things you have to do easy to deal with by using wisdom. There are countermeasures for whatever is out there. Whether it's hard work, whether it's satanic activity, difficult people, God has a counter. You just have to find it. But see, when you live from the kingdom, it's easy to see. In other words, he's telling people to do reasonable things. Verse 4, the older women, that they may teach the young woman to be sober, to love their husband, to love their children. Look at the benefits that's going to come out of that. If a wife loves her husband, he's got encouragement. If nobody else believes in him, he's got a wife that does. And women, a real wife, a wise woman, can say things that will make the difference. It will help him believe in himself and believe in God who made him. And if he believes in God who made him and have confidence in who he is as a man of God, then the world becomes smaller and God is bigger in his eyes. And then he said, and to love their husbands and to love their children. If you take a child and they're in an atmosphere of love, those creative abilities that God put in them are activated. Now, when you take a child and put him in an evil situation, he's buffeted. He's using outside resources, which is man's foolishness and evil and temptations and whatever else. The devices like alcohol and drugs to wound his spirit. And it causes him to be shy, withdrawn, afraid, doubtful. And see, when you got evil people in place, that shapes the way they see God. So the enemy, through his outside resources, is designed to suppress that child and hold back the creative abilities that God put in him. And he'll have a serious fight. But see, when the word of God is taught, and when people love God, sometimes people come from an evil background, but they go around godly people. And if they get in covenant with God, then their spirit man has a greater chance. And the creative abilities can be activated. It's mostly activated by love. I've watched so many people and heard their testimonies. And people that come from a loving network, the creative abilities are in them. They don't see themselves as a failure. You know, a friend of mine, he was, his grandfather took him aside. He worked in his store, and his grandfather loved God and taught him things, taught him how to handle money, taught him how to earn money, taught him how to work, taught him how to, and he never has a problem prospering. He took time off. He never had a problem prospering. And when you listen to his testimony, there's no doubt. And he went through a lot of stuff that wasn't his fault, and he still came out on top. So the enemy tried to shut him down all kind of ways, but he always bounced back. I got another friend. He just can't, the concept of being the concept of poverty or the concept of not having enough is not in him. He believes he can do anything. And and he'll try, and he does good. He does a lot of good things. He takes life head on. I like it. I think I struggled to prosper more than he did. it's the way your background. God put things. Sometimes people get it. Sometimes people, they can. God put something in them, and they can. When the things of God is activated, you live beyond the snake line, beyond the doubts of this world. So, but people are steadily doing the wrong thing, even after they've been warned. Well, see, warning comes before judgment. In chapter 8, Isaiah 8, the Lord warned that before the child will be able to say his parents, my father and my mother, the king of Assyria will have taken over. Once the child was born, that's about what, 10 months. Now, you know, children start speaking just before they get to be 1 year old. They're going to say mama and daddy somewhere within a year. See, warning comes before judgment. The king of Assyria was ministering the judgment of God to a hard-headed world. And anybody that would make a league to go against him was going to fail. Gird yourselves, you'll be broken in pieces. Not just Israel, but every nation. See, God had judged, sin only goes so far before it's judged. And God has given us warning, warning, warning. And I see people, some are listening and getting out of the danger and making corrections. That's why it's lasted this long. That's because there's a great revival happening. There's a great awakening happening. A revival means that people that was dying, they came to life. Well, God went around the people that wouldn't budge. You know, this revival is unlike anything that anybody has ever seen or experienced. It's not obvious. God is saving people individually. It's not like a big crusade come to town and thousands of people get. That's what people are looking for, but that's not what they're going to see. It's not going to look like that. Those days are gone. This time, it's different. He's moving by his spirit. He's finding sincere people that will love him, just like what Paul is writing to Titus about. People that, in all things, verse 7, in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. This is the kind of people God has raised up. People that's corrupt, God left them out of this. When God tried to get them to repent, they wouldn't do it. He tried all kind of ways to get them to. They wouldn't do it. He told me this in 2016. When he started talking about his return, I said, Lord, things. I'm saying, Lord, this things are not right yet. There's too much revelation that hadn't been taught. And there's too many people that's trapped under false doctrines. And this is his reply. Now, you can go back and listen to what I said. And I'll tell you how to find it. Go back to my first audio page. That's 2016. In October. Go back as far as September. Because around October, that's when the Lord started dealing with me about his return. Alright, and you'll hear the messages that I gave back then. Now, in those days, I was concerned that there was so much revelation that people have not heard. And I knew it because I was receiving all kind of revelation, and others have too. But the Lord didn't release it. Even on the radio, I mentioned some things, not everything. And now the Lord's telling me he's about to return. But he gave me great revelation. But he wouldn't release me to share it on the radio. And see, the radio audience is an audience that is anybody and everybody, you know, just people. Some may love God, some may not. Some may just be hearing the broadcast for the first time in their life. Every time it comes up, every time it airs. But I was looking for like the churches to have greater revelation. Sometimes I get excited about what I hear, but then I don't. Then I'm concerned about the revelation I don't hear. Not just in local churches, but over the TV. There's a lot of revelation I've never heard over the TV set. And those that are closest to it are few and far between. And I know the Lord is speaking because he never stopped talking about the things that he taught me about. He continues to deal with me about it. But I wasn't hearing. I got concerned. Then he talked about coming back. I said, well, Lord, this revelation hadn't gone out yet. I was concerned. He said, I've been warning my people for years, and they wouldn't hear. They wouldn't listen. I sent people to warn them to be corrected where they needed to, or they wouldn't do it. A lot of churches went seeker-friendly. They left a lot of things out, and they try to blend with the world somewhere, and they try to make an easy doctrine and short services, all kind of stuff, anything to get a crowd. They start placating the crowd. Well, you got to do it God's way and keep it steady. You have to do it God's way. Now, when this happened, I was concerned, but he let me know they wouldn't listen. Then in 2017, he released me to do Heart to Heart. That's when he started giving the revelation that he had been giving me since the early 90s. Now, I'm saying this for a reason. He went around the deadness of the churches of the day. The lukewarm church, the Laodicean church, he went around them. And he's given the word to people that want it sincerely. So this revival it's been in play for years. In 2017, the Lord said, tell my people my return is imminent. Be ready that they be not left. Now that warning came just before November. Just before Thanksgiving. It was the Saturday before Thanksgiving that year. So when that happened for me, I sat up in my bed, and I talk about that a lot. And it kind of changed my life. I heard language that I hadn't heard. He said, tell my people my return is imminent, be ready that they be not left. Now, preachers in the 80s used to teach that way all the time. Then it kind of waned away. But now the Holy Spirit is bringing it back. Because people, when they learn to use faith, when they learn to prosper, they did just like Israel and drifted. When people prosper, it's not the prosperity, but anything that changes your focus changes you with it. And when people focus on prospering, what's going to happen to their relationship if they're not focusing on God? Or if men are distracted with women, or women are distracted with men, or just everyday life, just like the fourth soil type, you know, that the seeds were sown among thorns, and those thorns grew up and choked the word. And that's like the people that the calves of this world and other things entering in chokes the word, and they become unfruitful. So seeds, just like seed, if you plant corn around a bunch of weeds and thorns, you're going to have a small thing of corn, if you have any corn at all. So what I'm saying is, people have not followed the warning that Jesus gave John to the seven churches. The reasons people fall away is because of the same things that Jesus warned the church about. The reason the last church was lukewarm was because the first churches that he warned, he told them what not to do. He told them what to change, and they didn't do it. Now, Laodicea was a church that was existing when those others were also. But the temptations were the same in every church. They had, but some churches resisted it more than others. Jesus said, he told his disciples, be aware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. At first they thought that he was angry because they didn't bring any bread. It dawned on them that he was talking about the sin of the Pharisees and the sin of Herod. Now, the leaven of the Pharisees, the leaven of Herod, it's a false certainty. The leaven of Herod is political power. He loved political power. The leaven of the Pharisees, they love religious prestige. They're more like, they're like Saul was. They love power more than they love godliness. And they live by their pride. And that's a problem. It's not going to work right. Your life can't work that way. So when you have the leaven of the Pharisees in operation, it's going to turn you from the things of God, and it causes you to be the enemy of God. Now, Jesus taught that being friends with the world is enmity against God. Now, let's examine something. Friendship with the world. It's the opposite of what God told Paul to tell Timothy. He said, but speak thou things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, and in charity. And see, charity is love and in patience. All right, the opposite of that is what the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod would produce. See, tell the aged men that speak thou things which become sound doctrine. Now, what if he was speaking things that was unsound doctrine? Then the aged men can't be sober, grave, temperate. They're not going to be sound in faith. They're definitely not going to have the love of God in them, in charity. They're not going to have enough love to do something right. And they're definitely not going to be patient. With unsound doctrine, you're going to be like the world. So what Satan did, he watered down the gospel that can produce life into a doctrine that cannot produce life. And then a doctrine that's divisive against life. And then a doctrine that becomes full of witchcraft, where they say one thing, do another. See, that's how it started subtle. The falling away is not in 2 days. It comes over a long period of time. First, we're going to change the sound doctrine. We're going to get rid of that good old sound doctrine and ease it in there, make it all something that a worldly mind would accept. You see how slick this is? And it happens once you flip the pastor, and then his network of, you know, his board of directors, so to speak, and then you get the parents, then you got the children, and the whole church is going to be scattered away. The people that really love God are going to be vexed when they go to church. They're going to feel like they've been to a fight. I know what I'm talking about. When people preach evil doctrine, you already had a rough time all week. Then you go to church. Church should be a place of refuge where you get strengthened, fed, and you get your hope restored. You get encouraged. But you're getting unsound doctrine, you know. Now you don't have anything to work with. Then he said, the aged women, likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness. Not unholy. An unholy woman can mess up everything. Even if there's a good man in the house, he gonna have his hands full. likewise that the aged women, likewise that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine. Look at false accusers. You'll be mad at everybody. Everybody, if you listen to a witchy woman, the opposite. I say that because that's the opposite of holiness. Not given to much wine. She drinks. She do some wild stuff. Teaches of good things. So she's teaching bad things instead of teaching good. See, if unsound doctrine turn things around. And then instead of teaching women to be sober, they teach them to be divisive against their husband and even against their children. And they're not discreet. They're not keepers of... In other words, they start running around on their husband. See, when you get unsound doctrine, I've heard too many testimonies where somebody's wife starts sleeping with a pastor of all things. That's witchcraft. All day. That church is dead. That is the epitome of Laodicea. Because the Laodicean church, they're tares. That's the kind of stuff that they do. But see, you can't, if you have sound doctrine and stick with it, you're gonna leave a pattern of good works. And if you do the opposite, you're gonna leave a pattern of witchy works, pride works, Pharisee works, Herod works. See, Herod tried to kill Jesus because he loved power. He didn't want to be supplanted. If he would have blessed Jesus, he would have been established. See, the world is crazy. You can't play with it. You can't let it begin. And that's what have happened. But see, judgment follows warning. And we've had perfect warning the last few years. Now I'm out of time. Consider these things. So the Lord may bless you in a world that's going to face judgment.